deserts. Dryness promotes the formation of flower buds. Flowering is, after all, not an aesthetic contribution, but a survival mechanism. Anne Heyman's Winger, The Mysterious Lands. I've never thought of myself as an ascetic. In fact, one of my best friends has said that denying myself was never what got me in trouble. But in acclimating myself to the bareness of the plains after the cornucopia of New York City, I found to my surprise that not only did I not lament the loss of urban stimulation, but I began to seek out even more deprivation than my isolated prairie town of 1,600 could provide. I gave up watching television, except for the Miss America pageant and the Academy Awards. The former because there's always the chance that the talent competition will include a baton twirler or a ventriloquist. Or better yet, a baton-twirling ventriloquist. The latter because, though I've mostly given up movies as well, once a year I like to see what people in Hollywood are wearing. As living on the plains has nudged me into a quieter life, I've discovered that this is what I wanted. I've had to read more and more widely so as not to become provincial, but interlibrary loans take care of me here. Reading is a solitary act, one in keeping with the silence of the plains, but it's also paradoxically public, as it deepens my connections with the larger world. All of this reflects a truth Thomas Merton once related about his life as a Trappist monk. It is in deep solitude and silence that I find the gentleness with which I can truly love my brother and my sister. The silence of the plains, this great, unpeopled landscape of earth and sky, is much like the silence one finds in a monastery, an unfathomable silence that has the power to reform you. And the plains have changed me. I was a New Yorker for nearly 6 years, and still love to visit my friends in the city. But now I am conscious of carrying a plains silence within me, into cities, and of carrying my city experiences back to the plains so that they may be absorbed again back into silence, the fruitful silence that produces poems and essays. A side effect of this process has been a change in the way I feel when I'm in a crowd, a situation I now experience so rarely that I have the luxury of enjoying it. Several years ago, I traveled to New England to visit a friend who had terminal cancer. The journey took on the nature of a quest. First, the 125-mile trip over the prairie to the nearest airport in Bismarck, North Dakota. A plane to Minneapolis and then LaGuardia, where I waited nearly 2 hours for my baggage. A bus into Manhattan, a taxi to Penn Station, where I stood for another 2 hours in a vast crowd. It was Labor Day weekend, waiting for a train. It seemed as if all of the city's dense, humid heat was concentrated in that room. Yet I felt at peace. The crowd was a typical urban mix, all races, young and old, rich and poor, sane and insane, quiet and ranting. As I stood in this group of strangers, I was happy to be one among many, and a powerful calm came over me. I began to see each of us as a treasure.